Whereas our gospel this morning shows Jesus calling to the disciples and them immediately dropping everything that they were doing to follow Jesus, we also have the story of the prophet Jonah. What for me is a more relatable story. But if we only read this excerpt, we might believe that Jonah heard the message from God and immediately set out to fulfill the prophecy that had been given him. However, many of us may remember from Sunday school that there is a whale involved in the story of Jonah. Jonah 1 begins, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, saying, 'Go at once to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me.' But Jonah set out to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." In other words, Jonah hears the word of God to go immediately to Nineveh and immediately buys a ticket going the opposite direction. Scholars often speak of Jonah as the anti-hero to Abraham. When Abraham interceded with God on behalf of Sodom and Gomorrah, Jonah plays his inverse where he tries to avoid interceding on behalf of the people. Which makes it funny, I was reading Richard Rohr's book on Christianity and the Enneagram. And for those of you who may not have encountered the Enneagram before, it's a bit like a Myers-Briggs type thing. It's a personality assessment. There are 9 different types in the Enneagram. And what Father Rohr has done is he went through all of the types and assigned biblical characters that it would do well for that type to meditate on. That they share similar traits to that personality type. You can probably guess where I'm headed with this. I excitedly got his book and I flipped immediately to the page with my type on it to discover what biblical hero I was to meditate on. And I found that Father Rohr said I was most like Jonah. But crap, really? And then I looked up Matt's. Matt's is Jacob, father of Israel, hero. Jonah. But if I'm being honest, there are some parallels. When I think back to my own call, when I first had an inkling that God might be calling me to be a minister, I got really nervous and a little sweaty. And to be honest, I couldn't think of anything less cool to do with my life at that point. I couldn't imagine myself as a pastor. And yet somehow I knew it to be true deep down. And yet, I was also ashamed of this truth because it would require me to become something that I wasn't planning to become. After all, I was the one who dropped out of youth group as a 12-year-old. I hadn't been to church in 6 years at that point. And as my mother still calls me, I was the dark horse candidate for ministry. I didn't know what I thought about Jesus, and I didn't even have a denomination. And so for months, I didn't tell anyone about this new sense of call that was burning inside of me because it seemed too frightening, and because I didn't have the answers to the questions that I knew people were going to start asking me. And I kind of hoped that this call would disappear if I just ignored it for long enough. But this is precisely the place from which God called me. He called me as I was. And while I was made a priest on a specific day at Grace Cathedral, becoming a priest is a process that is ongoing, that is much longer than a day. We become what we are called to be in the process of following that call, with all of its challenges, not before accepting it. After all, Jonah too struggled to accept his call, this difficult path which was before him. After all, Jonah boards this ship. After he buys the ticket going the opposite direction, he gets on the ship, and God sends a great storm to the ship. And even through this, Jonah is asleep in the bottom, below deck. The sailors have to come wake him up and say, "Jonah, there's a huge storm. What is going on? Will you pray to your God or not?" And then after a little more discussion, the sailors realize that Jonah is, in fact, the reason for this storm. And Jonah, in true dramatic resignation, says, "Well, simply throw me overboard then." But then God sends the whale. Really, in the text, it's a large fish. We're not sure that it's a whale. But either way, in this scenario then, this large fish which comes and swallows Jonah is actually a blessing. Jonah was literally willing to drown in his own avoidance and stubbornness. But God called him still and sent salvation in an unexpected form. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Even after being swallowed by a fish, it still took Jonah 3 days and three nights of being in that fish before we have in chapter 2 what is called Jonah's hymn of thanksgiving. Jonah prays to the Lord from the belly of the fish, saying in part, "I called to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. The waters closed in over me, the deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped around my head at the roots of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever, yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. As my life was ebbing away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple." At Jonah's rock bottom moment, Jonah cries out to God. Jonah opens himself to the grace and the love and the mercy which had followed him all the way down. But to be clear, Jonah still continues to screw up. This rock bottom moment doesn't mean that Jonah is suddenly not Jonah, not the person who ended up in the belly of a large fish. And so even after the excerpt that we have today where he goes and proclaims the message and the city is saved, they repent. Jonah gets mad at God. He says, "God, if you knew that you were going to save them anyway, why did I have to go?" And then he goes out and he builds a booth for himself and he sulks and sits. And God, even while Jonah sulks, he sends a bush that grows above him and provides him shade. But then God destroys the bush. And Jonah is very upset. But it prompts this exchange, which really gets to the core of the theology of Jonah. "But God said to Jonah, 'Is it right for you to be angry about the bush?' And Jonah said, 'Yes, angry enough to die.' Then the Lord said, 'You are concerned about the bush for which you did not labor and which you did not grow. It came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should I not be concerned about Nineveh, that great city, in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also many animals? The book of Jonah reminds us that God's will for creation is filled with grace and with mercy. That even for those who we would deem our enemies, for you see, Nineveh was part of the Assyrian Empire. They were enemies of the people of Israel. And yet, God says, should I not be concerned with them? Sometimes it takes an unexpected large fish showing up to force us to stop running and deal with ourselves. At the risk of stretching this metaphor too far, in my mind, this idea of a large fish, they can be circumstances in our life that force us to stop. They might be circumstances that feel scary or weird or just uncomfortable. But they give us the opportunity to open our eyes to that which we may have been ignoring or sleeping through. Because God doesn't give up on us, even as our anger, our stubbornness, and our unwillingness to push ourselves past our comfort zone can do more to injure us than any sort of judgment from on high. I want to read to you an excerpt from Pema Chodron, a Buddhist nun and teacher's work, on her thoughts on suffering and difficult places. She writes, "On a very basic level, all beings think that they should be happy. When life becomes difficult or painful, we feel that something has gone wrong. This wouldn't be a big problem, except for that when we feel something's gone wrong, we're willing to do anything to feel okay again. According to Buddhist teachings, difficulty is inevitable in human life. For one thing, we cannot escape the reality of death, but there are also the realities of aging, of illness, of not getting what we want, and of getting what we don't want. These kinds of difficulties are facts of life. But the Buddhist teachings also say that this is not what causes us misery in our lives. What causes misery is always trying to get away from the facts of life, always trying to avoid pain and seek happiness. This sense of ours that there could be lasting security and happiness available to us if only we could do the right thing. As another teacher points out, suffering has a great deal to teach us. If we use the opportunity when it arises, suffering will motivate us to look for answers. Yet it is so basic in us to feel that things should go well for us, that if we start to feel depressed, lonely, or inadequate, it must mean there's been some kind of mistake or we've lost it. In reality, when you feel depressed, lonely, betrayed, or any unwanted feelings, this is an important moment on the spiritual path. This is where real transformation can take place. Let difficulty transform you, and it will. In my experience, we just need help in learning how not to run away." This is our journey as Christians as well. For as Jonah shows us, it's in the belly of a great fish that he finally opens himself up to the grace and love of God that was always available to him when he finally stopped running away. Jonah's story is a challenge to us as individuals, to we at St. Mark's, and we as a global church. Will we go where God calls us? Will we open ourselves to becoming something new along the way, especially when it's difficult? What Jonah reminds us, what Pema Chodron reminds us, is that the path of peace, of transformation for ourselves and our enemies is often right before us, disguised as the very thing we would avoid. What we have to do is learn not to run away. Amen.